According to the recent report by Survival International, how do dams harm different ethnic groups in Africa?
Well, it all depends on how the dam is built, but the first issue really is that many of the new dams being created are being created without the permission of the people whose land they're being built on, which can have all sorts of effects for those people's food security, for their cultural integrity, for their ability to choose their own futures. And what Survival has seen in our 40-year history of working with vulnerable tribal people is that when you take away their ability to choose their own futures, what you put in place is usually destitution, alcoholism, dependency, and a much worse state of affairs than were there beforehand.
So which groups in Africa are at risk?
Well, the tribes that we're most keen to highlight at the moment are the tribes of the Lower Omo Valley in Ethiopia. At least 8 different tribes, but possibly more, are going to be affected by a giant dam that's being built on the Omo River called Gibe III. And if this dam goes ahead and is allowed to be completed, these tribes are going to suffer terribly because they're going to lose the waters from the Omo River, which are a complete lifeline in what's actually a very difficult and arid environment.
Isn't hydropower and creating dams a green energy that's a cheap and efficient way to create electricity for Africa? Are there reasonable alternatives?
Well, the rhetoric is certainly that these huge hydroelectric dams are a clean and efficient green energy source, but it does seem to be just rhetoric. There are many other options to be explored, including small-scale hydropower dams, including wind power, solar power. What's the case with the Gibe III dam is that these alternatives don't seem to have even been looked into. So a choice has been made to build what will be Africa's tallest dam without looking into the alternatives and without considering the effects it's going to have on the people just immediately downstream of it.
But let's say supporters say dams can create new opportunities, including creating fish farms. Is that true?
Well, it can be in theory. The issue is not that all dams are necessarily bad, but it is that when you build these giant industrial projects like a huge hydroelectric dam, which fundamentally alter the ecosystem in which they're placed, you have to talk to the people first. For example, you can build a fish farm that might be suitable for a developed industry with motorized fishing boats to work with, but it might not be suitable for a tiny hunter-gatherer tribe of a few thousand people who don't have the resources to manage that kind of infrastructure.
But industry associations say they have retooled their evaluation procedures for large hydro dams and have started to apply new construction guidelines developed by a discussion forum like the World Commission on Dams.
Well, the World Commission on Dams was certainly quite a turning point at the time. In 2000, it produced a report which said, amongst other things, that the decision whether or not to build a large hydroelectric dam must be guided by indigenous people's free, prior, and informed consent to that project. But it's clearly not being applied. Certainly in the case of Gibe III in Ethiopia, the tribal people, until very recently, had no idea at all that this dam was even being planned, and they certainly haven't been adequately consulted about it. So whatever proponents of this dam say, the fact of the matter is that they're not reaching the very basic standards for tribal people's rights that they should be.
Meanwhile, the World Bank says it takes more account of environmental and social issues in its planning and has established a complaints procedure for affected communities. Have you seen results? Are these measures enough?
No, they're not enough. The World Bank has made progressive developments in terms of recognizing that tribal peoples are generally disproportionately affected, negatively affected by projects like this, and that something needs to be done about that. What the World Bank hasn't done is to adequately implement the standard of free, prior, and informed consent. And this is really absolutely vital to tribal people all over the world. If they don't have this very basic standard, which the World Bank should endorse and should demand for any project that it's involved in, then the results are very often devastating.
Survival International suggests greater consultation between the government, project sponsors, and local communities. Is this being tried in the case of Ethiopia?
No, basically. The Ethiopian government seems entirely disconcerned with or unconcerned with the tribes living in the Lower Omo Valley and is not interested in consulting with them properly at all. In fact, last year, in 2009, the local administration, the regional administration for that area of Ethiopia, shut down a number of community associations, making it virtually impossible for these tribal people to talk to each other, to discuss the plans for the dam and what they might think about it. There is no dialogue going on at all.
We're talking about Gibe 3. We already have Gibe 1, Gibe 2, and probably it's going to go up to 5. With regard to Ethiopia specifically, what are some of the things that need to be discussed?
Well, at the very first instance, it needs to be discussed what the people of the Lower Omo Valley actually want. I'm sure there are plenty of things they want. You know, they live in a very difficult an arid environment, and there are many things that the Ethiopian government could provide before building this incredibly expensive dam, which would be far more beneficial. But until they go and talk to the tribal people, they won't know the answer to that question. I think it's quite important to point out that the electricity that's going to be generated from this whole cascade of dams, of Gibe dams, is not going directly to Ethiopia. A great deal of it will actually be taken across the border to Kenya, because the governments have already made agreements about that. So this is, let's be very clear, this is not an electrification project for the benefit of the people who are living in the area. And in fact, you know, the tribes of the Omo Valley are going to be most affected by this dam, and they're going to get precious little benefit from it.
To what extent is China involved in these African projects? Have you tried to sensitize Chinese companies about your concerns?
Yeah, it's difficult to get very clear details at the moment. We do know that the Ethiopian government is in discussions with Chinese banks about funding Gibe 3 because they haven't got all of the funding they want. And just recently, the European Investment Bank announced categorically that it would not be funding the dam, although they'd been discussing it for quite a long time. There are also Chinese companies which may be involved in the construction of peripheral parts of industry around the dam. Survival International has written to the Chinese banks urging them to look very carefully at this project and not to fund it unless the tribes' rights are properly assessed and upheld right from now, but we shall see what happens there.